2-0. Ground ball into the shift right side. Altuve to his right. He fields, throws to first. Inning over. Doug Fister completes 8 innings for the first time since throwing a complete game shutout for the Nationals against the Miami Marlins back on September 26th of 2014.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Astros with a tough loss to the Oakland A's yesterday. Maybe the most encouraging thing was Doug Fister and the way he was able to pitch. Had a rocky outing his last time out, and your bullpen was really taxed, and Fister gave you 8 innings, giving up just a couple of runs.
Yeah, and those 2 runs really came on a couple of broken bat hits and then the big double by Alonso. So Fister did exactly what we needed. Had no room for error against Hill. We couldn't solve him and, end up losing a close game. But really proud of Doug's effort, and it was good to see him get back on track after a couple of rough outings.
You talk about Rich Hill. He has that curveball and can make it do different things. It has to be really tough to face a guy like that who relies so much on that curveball.
Yeah, it's like the reverse of Lance McCullers. You know, I mean, it's like now we know what the other teams feel like when McCullers pitches. And,
right.
And Hill can change shapes with it. He throws it often. It's a couple different speeds. It's a big breaking ball, so there's a debate on strikes and balls all the time. And then, you know, as the game progresses, he changes his approach and started to finish our at-bats with fastballs. And we were really behind that fastball. So tip my hat to him for the style that he pitched with last night. He's doing it to the entire league when he's healthy, and he was a tough matchup for us.
George Springer got the game started on the right foot for you with that big triple, wound up coming in to score, and got word that George Springer unfortunately did not win the final vote for the All-Star game, for that final spot on the AL All-Star roster, but great to see the fans show their support for him.
Yeah, it's big for George to get this kind of exposure with the type of player that he is, the impact that he has in all areas. Obviously last night started the game off with a great triple, scored a run. Always seems to be in the middle of what we do. You know, unfortunately, he's not going to be represented in San Diego, but I think we're watching a player who's starting to come into his own a little bit. He's starting to mature. He's starting to realize a really high ceiling, vast potential, and I'm proud he's on our team.
Colin McHugh getting a start today for the Astros, and he's been better his last handful of starts. What have you seen, or if anything, different from McHugh his last few starts opposed to maybe before that?
Yeah, he's not nibbling as much as he was before. He pounds the strike zone with a couple different pitches. His curveball control and command is very key for him. And his last couple of games, he's been able to throw it for balls and for strikes whenever he wants to. And that way he can get a free strike when he needs to. He can get out of some difficult jams. He throws it 3-2 often. But still, he's a fastball-first mentality. He's not relying on his cutter as much as he has in the past. And it's making him an all-around better pitcher.
You talk about that cut fastball, and you see a lot of pitchers around the league who start to throw that cutter and then kind of lose feel for that four-seam fastball a little bit. It almost seems like that cutter can be kind of a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, I think it's how it comes off his fingertips. You know, when a cutter, it has to come off your fingertips a certain way for it to get the cut action. And once you do that, that feel for the fastball is where you end up coming off of your first finger a little bit more. Is a little bit difficult to find again, and you see pitchers all the time lose their fastball because of their cutter, and that's not what we want Colin to do. And any of our pitchers that have cutters, we want them to still be primarily fastball type pitchers. The cutter is what gets it off the barrel. So luckily for us, Colin's got great feel for the baseball. He knows how to manipulate it and how to use his pitches.
AJ Hinch, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
The following minute of Astros history featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
On this day in 2010, the Astros were in fifth place, 14 games behind the Reds. With the July 31st deadline approaching, there was speculation that the Astros might make Roy Oswalt and Lance Berkman available. If the two Astros legends had hoped to make a case for being traded to a contending team, they could scarcely have made it more convincingly than they did on this Thursday afternoon at Minute Maid Park. The Wizard of Oz beat the Bucks 2-0 that day. Only a first-inning single by Neil Walker prevented Roy from pitching a no-hitter. Meanwhile, Berkman delivered a solo homer in the first and another in the fourth. It was all Oswalt needed to coast to a 2-0 victory. By the end of the month, Oswalt was a Philly and Berkman a Yankee.
Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I'm with Stephen Vogt, the all-star representative for the Oakland A's. First of all, Stephen, congratulations on that. I'm sure it's a big thrill for you and your family.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm really excited and honored to be going to the All-Star game to represent the A's, it's obviously one of the highest honors you can get as a baseball player. So I'm very excited.
Second year in a row for you. A little starstruck last year. Is that safe to say or no?
Absolutely. More so starstruck. I was more out of place. You know, I walk into the room and I'm looking around the room and, you know, saying, what the heck am I doing here? And, you know, but you look around the room more and more, and as you kind of realize, you're like, yeah, you know what? It's pretty cool to belong in this room. And so it'll feel really cool going back again this year.
Who are you going to take out to San Diego with you? You got some family you want to take out?
Yeah, I grew up about 5 hours north of there, so there's going to be quite a big vote contingent down in San Diego. But my wife, our two kids, my brother, his family, my parents, my in-laws, aunts and uncles, you name it. There's going to be about 25 in our party heading down that way, so it's going to be pretty busy.
Did a little research on you. I know you got a bigger brother. Was he a big influence on your life?
Absolutely. Danny, my older brother, 3 years older than I was, and he played college baseball, and he was my best friend. You know, I looked up to him a lot. Whatever he did, I wanted to do it. Yeah. And, you know, he's been a big influence on me, as well as our father, Randy, was our high school coach, and, you know, that kind of thing. So we're a baseball family, and everybody's real proud of me and what I've accomplished. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without them.
You mentioned your dad, Randy, who was a baseball player in his own right. Was he tough on you guys as the coach for your team, or did he let you guys get away with a little bit?
There wasn't getting away with anything. you know, he was great. When we were at the field, he was probably tougher on Danny and I than anybody else. Yeah. And then he was really good about turning the page. You know, when practice or the game was over, he was dad. And he was real good at separating the two of them. You know, as we got older, it was, you know, kind of older in high school, juniors and seniors, and maybe trickled over a little bit, you know, but for the most part, he was great. He was an unbelievable father and a great coach as well.
And he swung you guys out to some San Francisco Giant games. You guys hung out at Candlestick. Those have to be special memories for you.
Absolutely, yeah. We spent a lot of time at Candlestick, and it was Pac Bell then. It'll always be Pac Bell to me. It will never be AT&T Park. But, you know, just we grew up loving the Giants. You know, Will Clark, Barry Bonds. I actually named my son Clark. So, you know, quite a big influence on me as a kid as well. So, you know, it's kind of weird playing for the team across the bay, but we're loving Oakland and loving being a part of the A's.
What do you want to do differently when you go to the All-Star game this year that maybe you were just probably not really sure what to do last year?
Slow down. You know, I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, just trying to take everything in as much as I could. I didn't want to miss anything, and it kind of flew by, and I kind of said, what happened? That was 2 days, and where'd they go? So this time around, just being able to slow it down, knowing exactly what to expect, and just sit back and enjoy the atmosphere. You know, I'm really looking forward to watching David Ortiz do what he does.
Yeah,
and you know, he's been such a big influence and big part of today's baseball game. And you know, in his last year, doing what he's doing in his final year is remarkable. And so he, along with, you know, the other greatest baseball players in the game right now, it's just I'm honored to be named amongst them.
Last thing with catcher Stephen Vogt of the Oakland A's. Tell us about Daniel Mingden, who's pitching tonight, making his fifth start as a major leaguer. He shows pretty good stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, he's a Houston kid, so I know he's been really looking forward to this one. He's got confidence. He knows his game well. He knows his stuff well. He's pitched very well for us every time he's taken the ball. So it's been fun to work with him. He's definitely mature beyond his years. And, you know, I know he's really excited about tonight, so we got to try and contain that excitement just a little bit before the game starts. But, you know, he's got a good four-pitch mix. You can look for that. He throws all four pitches to both righties and lefties and uses both sides of the plate with both of them. Yeah. He's a very polished pitcher with a unique look. He's got the, you know, the Raleigh Fingers mustache with the tweener pants and old-school windup. So he's a lot of fun to watch.
There you go. Stephen Vogt, thanks for catching up, and have a lot of fun at Petco this weekend.
Thanks, Steve.
The Houston Astros.
Playing in the mess. Mike Fiers has done it. A no-hitter.
On your radio.
That ball's clobbered. Left field. See ya.
All summer long.
Start spreading the news. The Houston Astros win the AL wildcard game.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.